Hello and welcome to Opinions, episode 52, Coachtastrophe.
Oh, it's the apocalypse for the coaches right now. It's the end. So many have been gone.
Wait, I'm Harry.
Ben. Yes, I'm Ben.
People need to know who we are.
That's true. We've had a little break, but we have come back. Sorry. Thank you for bearing with us. Yeah, you lucky guy.
It was great. I was watching a lot of basketball when I had time, and
that's fair. I mean, living it up, what more can you ask for?
Oh, I'm so poor now. Like, do not talk to me about anything until next payday.
The coaches are also going to be wondering about the next payday. Oh, got him.
So, lots happened. It's going to be our playoff super episode.
Yep. Jumbo episode.
We'll see how we go. We're just going to talk about everything and see how it goes.
Pretty much.
Because it's been really fun. So we're going to start off. We did the first round.
Yep.
Well, let's throw it out of the way really quickly. I was correct about the Milwaukee coach. They fired him.
Yep. Budenholzer has officially been let go.
Which I think you have, like, being completely out. Like, here's the thing, right? You could see when it's a player problem and when it's a coaching problem. Mm-hmm. And that whole Miami series, Spoelstra just coached circles around.
Yep, Bud. Absolutely outcoached him. It didn't come down to Giannis's injury. That wasn't the reason. It was 100%, yeah, Budenholzer not stepping up and making adjustments when he needed to. And Miami just outplayed them because of that.
Yeah, and like the way that they were just changing things up, like changing who did ball handling. Like, they did one game where they had Bam bring up the ball so it would draw Robin Lopez out of the paint, and just little stuff like that. Brooks, sorry, Robin.
They're twins. They look the same.
One of them, I should have just said Lopez, and I would have got away with it. But I do want to discuss maybe a little. We'll get into Miami, New York first. Let's start off with this question. How much are the players at fault versus how much is it a coaching problem? At what point does it become a coaching problem versus a player's just not being good?
It's a good question.
Recently, a lot of blame has been placed on coaches, which at the end of the day, it's kind of hard. Like, it's not like you're going to fire Giannis for not playing good, right? So it's one of those weird things where, like, at some point, like, if you're looking for blame, it falls on the coach because you're not going to let Giannis go.
I have a little bit of an opposite opinion just to start with because...
Well, it's just like from an organization perspective. Yeah, like,
you're not going to fire
Giannis for, yeah. You shot 1 from 8.
Exactly. I think coaches take the fall too often, in my opinion, but there are circumstances where it's 100% warranted, and I think Budenholzer is one of them because, like we've seen, you've called it seasons ago. Regular season does the job.
Fantastic.
As soon as it comes to playoffs, where you're playing the same team, 7 games, he doesn't adjust and just gets outcoached. And so I think in that case, that's the right call.
I don't want to be like, because look, I think Bud's a nice guy and a nice coach. I respect him a lot more than Doc Rivers, for example. But it's a very Doc Rivers kind of situation, though, where I think it was they won the championship in spite of Bud, not because of Bud.
I think that's a fair call, actually. Yeah,
that team was so good that like you could have just been like Giannis play, and he would have like they were that team had depth, they had all the right pieces. Like, you had to pretty much be a doofus to mess that up. And even then, even if you tried to like sabotage it, Giannis was just unstoppable back then.
I mean, he was absolutely peak Giannis, so. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think he's not the worst coach, but he's not flexible enough, not doing his job to adjust. And that's what he's there for.
And that's the thing. Out of, the last 3 or 4 years, it's been one championship and 2 or 3 disappointing exits.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to some extent, it's like they have a ring, which is impressive. Not all coaches can say that. But like you said, it's in spite of him, kind of. They had such a good roster. And it's been really disappointing playoffs other than that finals run. So...
First and second round exits, and it's like that's the thing. Like, if they'd made it to the finals, like the NBA finals, 4 years in a row, and had lost, like, I think that's a different conversation. Yep. He's still getting them to the end, and it's like, you know,
can't argue with those results, really. Exactly, but didn't go that far.
When you have like first and second round exits, and And yeah, not making deep runs.
Yeah, I mean, against an 8 seed, when you're the number 1 seed in the entire NBA, it's not acceptable.
No. Falling up, losing 4-1, like getting gentlemen swept is
It's not like it even went to 7 games or anything. They convincingly lost. So. Yeah.
So that brings Miami and New York.
Yes.
Which I believe somebody called that New York was going to win that series. If I remember, do I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Because I picked Miami because I was like, I can't do it. I have to stick with them because otherwise they're just going to prove me wrong. And I called it.
That was a good call. To be honest, I think it just came down to me that first round, I'm like, I'll take that as a freak accident. Like, because look, the funniest thing too is that you have been roasting Miami like the entire year. And I've been like, no, they're fine. They're fine.
I have.
And then when it comes down to it, you back them. I didn't back them. So that's on me. But honestly, look, Miami just kept that momentum.
I still think they're a little thin. But they got through Miami and... they got through Miami. They got through New York. Yeah, and at the end of the day...
playing solidly, so...
I like Tibbs as a coach. And we're going to... I think maybe today's theme might be a lot of coach talk. Mm. But I love the defensive work that New York put out. Like, defensively, they were very strong.
Definitely.
But for me, Tibbs always is a little bit short on offense.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. I mean, given their first round performance beating Cleveland 4-1, that was a bit of a surprise to me. I thought Cleveland was going to beat them. So going into the next round, I'm like, okay, they really can beat some tough teams. I thought they'd have it.
There was a lot of low scoring games.
Yeah, I guess defensive focus kind of tends to do that. But there's also that man called Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy and Buckets. And Brunson had some big games.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing with this New York team is like you've got Brunson. I don't think Josh Hart did much for New York.
He had a few good plays here and there, but I don't think his stats really were that solid. So
And then what's the young guy that's not a rookie anymore? But
Quickly?
No, the other one.
Grimes.
No, the other one.
Other one. Which
Thingy Mabob.
Not like Randall.
The top 2 pick.
Oh, of course, Barrett. What am I talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, which Barrett, I've always been he's been in the league. He's been playing now for like 3 or 4 years, which, hot damn, we're getting old. But but he's sort of, Barrett will have nights where he's really good and he'll just have nights where he's not good. And it's like one of those things where like, I think Barrett has a lot of potential, but I don't know if he's reached it yet or if he will reach it.
That's fair. I think, people definitely in because he's been in the league for multiple years now, have been kind of questioning his ceiling. Has he reached that yet? I think it's just consistency is one of the big things for him because he's not particularly consistent. But I think also the team should help a bit because, honestly, New York this season has really stepped up their roster. I think previous seasons they've been trying to get kind of quick, easy fixes, but it seems like bringing in Brunson was obviously a very good call.
Mm.
I kind of questioned that at first, but that was a great, great pickup. So honestly, I have a lot of hope for New York in future, I think.
I think I agree. I think they've got a good team, and I think making it to the semifinals with where the team is currently, I don't want to say they overachieved, but like I don't think they're going to make it much further. Like,
Fair.
But they've got really good building blocks in place now to keep moving forward. Like their core is still quite young. They just got Brunson for 3 or 4. Was it 3 or 4 years?
4-year deal, I think.
4-year deal, which it's like once you lock in big pieces for like now you've got kind of like a 4-year window.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. But like you said, coming with that, I think Brunson does have to step up because if he's one of the key pieces for them, he needs to improve his game because alongside Brunson, alongside Randall, some of the young guards too.
Quickly, their younger core are good with like experience with Brunson. And look, I'm very confused about Randall. I can't decide if I think he's good or not.
Has his moments, but
it's like a season. He picks a season and goes, okay, I'm gonna be really good this season,
gonna be an all star, and then entirely drop off the next season.
And like, then the season later, it's like, oh, I'm gonna go back to being like a mid player. it's just, I cannot understand, but I'm glad now that New York have other pieces because they don't like before it was like everything's through Randall and now they've got other people.
Most importantly, a point guard because Kemba didn't pan out. So,
jeez, poor Kemba. But there's not much to say. Miami won 4-2. It was it was a decent stretch of games, but again,
they're
Miami
rolling. This is without Tyler Hero too.
Yeah,
which is also why I was not backing Miami.
I'm
they're missing one of their key players, but
everyone else has just stepped up. Like Gabe Vincent, Marcus Strus.
Max Strus and Caleb Martin. Yeah, you put the two together. But honestly, yeah, you're right. The role players have been going crazy. I think even especially this last series we'll get into later. Yeah. But Caleb Martin's been great off the bench. Absolute like microwave. So
3/4 of that starting five are like undraft. Like it's super annoying. It's super annoying to watch Miami Heat games because all the commentators go is, oh, undrafted guy this, undrafted, which is great. I respect Miami for finding people.
100%.
And like, you know, cultivating their own talent, and I think that there are a lot of talented guys that don't get picked up for the draft. Like look at the Lakers are constantly finding gems that don't get drafted, and there's a lot of there's stories out there of people not getting drafted and doing really well. But I don't need to hear it every 30 seconds.
Even Spoelstra was defending Vincent. He's like, stop saying it every time. This guy's like a veteran on the team, effectively. He's been here a number of years. He should have some more respect on his name, to be honest. So.
Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, like, I think if you're drafted, you've got more expectations.
Yeah, it's just more pressure.
And so if you're not drafted, like, at the end of like it's almost like, he's not bad of a player for an undraft. It's like, bro, he's hooping. He's balling better than some drafted people right now. It shouldn't matter. Like, it shouldn't be his defining thing of whether he was drafted or not.
Yeah.
But playing fantastic.
Yeah. Especially
absolutely lights out.
Slotting in at the point guard because Lowry's definitely at the end of his career. Dude, so.
Lowry's so bad.
Oh, he's not been great for them.
He's like, there was one game where he was like 0 for 7. Like, that man is throwing up shots like he thinks he's top snuff, and he's not. He needs to.
Pass his prime.
Someone needs to tell him stop shooting and pass the ball. Mm. Like, playmake.
Yep.
Because he hasn't got it no more.
Yeah, get the ball to Jimmy.
Or retire. Like, he's got his retirement run to Miami. And I think he needs to, I'm sorry, Lowry. I don't want to be mean, but you need to go.
Yeah, I think.
And the only reason he's getting lots of minutes right now is because everyone keeps getting hurt.
Yeah.
But like, I would be trying to play him as little as possible.
Pretty much.
Which, when Gabe rolled his ankle, get Lowry had a lot more minutes.
Step back up, yeah.
Yeah, which is like today was the game to win. But we'll talk about that in a moment. Philadelphia versus Boston came down to a game. 7.
Oh, did you expect that?
Yes.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be close. Disappointed with how Philly saw. I think Philly's like game 7, they got blown out off memory.
It was a kind of a bad way to end it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It was 112-88. It was not a nice close way to finish. If anything, the last two games. I think, Philly were up.
Yeah, actually, weren't they up in this series and then Boston clawed it back?
Yeah, Boston won 2 in a row to finish it.
Yeah, because it was 3-2 and then they, yep.
Which, yeah, I was ready for Philly to make a deeper run. At the end of the day, with the team that they have, getting knocked out in the second round is disappointing for Philadelphia.
I mean, obviously against the second seed in Boston, who made the finals last year and are a strong team, so that's into consideration, but...
But they're the third seed.
Exactly. They should be at least punching their way. And look, it did go to 7 games, but...
The last two games were a joke.
But, I mean, it's still, yeah, when you're getting blown out like that, I call that a disappointment. No offense, Philly, but...
And partially, as much as I want to blame Doc Rivers, so... Doc Rivers got fired.
Yep.
This is the third season where he has not done what he needs to do. I want to... Doc's a bad coach, but losing 112-88, that's not all Doc Rivers.
That's part on the players too, yeah.
I think while... Yeah, that's partially players. Like, you don't get blown out in a game 7 like that if the players...
The most telling stat is that Embiid, not to throw too much shade at him, but he had the biggest drop-off as an MVP from the regular season into the playoffs. He had like over a 10-point drop off. He did not play MVP basketball in the playoffs. Simple as that.
And I think that's the thing, is that Embiid disappeared that series.
Yeah.
He was not the dominant person that we're used to seeing.
Mm.
And it sort of needs to come from him. And he was not playing well at all. And it's sort of, he's the all-star. He's the MVP. He's the player for that team.
Yeah.
Look at Jokic. Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Still hitting. We'll talk about Jokic later. But Jokic is still doing what he does. And the pressure got to Embiid.
Yeah. Because, I mean, look, again, you say it's a 7-game series. The team has more time to adjust. But if you're an MVP caliber player, you still find ways to make it work. And I don't think he did. So.
No. Like, there are times where it's like, you need a bucket.
Yeah.
And Embiid would just take those silly mid-game fadeaways.
Yeah.
Which. mostly were. Look, it's definitely in his repertoire, but it just wasn't. He missed.
Yeah, wasn't hitting, which happens, but you can't afford to do that in the playoffs. That's where champions are born. So,
and Harden disappeared again, which is disappointing.
I mean, shout out to him. At least he had a couple of solid games in this playoff run where he just went absolutely all out. Had some
he went
huge,
ballistic in like two of them, and then the rest
points
of them,
and assists. But then
the rest of them was just like, where is he?
When he was cooking, but when he was off, he was ice cold. It was bad. So,
but I should see the stats and like, because I do think that even if Harden isn't hitting, I think his assists and gravitas do help.
That's fair.
Like, you know, like, look, yeah, he was 4 from 16, but 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block. So, like, I still think that he's
contributing in other ways.
But that means other people need to step up if he's not hitting.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of the big ones. Like, when you can do 16 from 23 and still get 8 rebounds and 9 assists, like, that's ideal. But I've always maintained that Harden wasn't brought in to score. He was brought in to facilitate. It's just, why is he getting so many shots if he's just there to facilitate?
When Embiid's getting shut down and when he's cold.
Why isn't Embiid taking those shots? Yeah. Why isn't Maxley taking those shots? Why aren't other people...
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, look, obviously he still has a scoring arsenal, but it's not... Yeah, it shouldn't be his number one priority. He should be facilitating. And the rest of the team needs to step up.
But that means other people need to step up.
Exactly.
If Harden's taking shots, that means he can't feed it to someone else.
Yep.
So, but overall, and I sent you a breakdown video of Doc Rivers and the way that the Philadelphia 76ers broke down during the series has... pretty much followed Doc has the exact same collapse the whole time, and I think it's definitely a way he schemes things. And I don't know if I don't know what goes behind the scenes, like I don't know if he has schemes or not, but the way that he just sort of relies on his star players to just make things out of nothing without having plays or ideas or schemes in place. I just think he goes, okay, we're down. I bait you up.
Yeah. I mean, you've been saying it for years. I put respect when it's due. Like, you've been calling it. He's had some really stacked rosters. When you look back, obviously, championship Boston team with one of the first, like, real big three, almost big four, if you include Rondo. He had the LA team where you've got, like, I mean, star caliber. They were in the playoffs every year and just disappointed every time. And I think, there's a common theme there, just relying on the players. And the most interesting thing I mentioned was Rasheed Wallace, who was on the Boston team. Like, they'd be in the huddle, and he wouldn't draw anything up, so the players would have their own second huddle just to draw something up. Like, you're not even coaching at that point. The players are coaching themselves.
The way that Philadelphia collapsed, does it look exactly the same as the Clippers collapse?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, they make it past the first round and then kind of tank in the second.
Fall apart.
Yep.
Like, it's just like, you see Doc like, Kawhi, why aren't you doing something? And it's like,
I'm trying. And I mean, even like looking at the CP3, Blake Griffin, JJ Redick, DeAndre Jordan, like they had good players, and I think it's why they got as far as they did, but they'd always fall short.
They'd always fall apart when things got tough, because Doc Rivers is like, okay, you're an all-star, go fix it, like go win. And it's like, mate, we need more than that.
I mean, Chris Paul didn't make the finals until he moved to the Suns, so he probably could have made it, maybe. It's, I guess, a big call to make, but maybe could have made it with better coaching, perhaps, on the Clippers.
It's just there's a distinct pattern with how Doc River teams fall apart, and I think it's the way, and the way that Doc Rivers does things, like, it works in the regular season. Like, relying on your all-stars is fine to get you through the regular season, but when people start to try and mix things up and trying to throw you off your game, how are you going to tell your guys to get around that?
Yep.
You can't just go, oh, Embiid, do what you always do.
Yeah.
Then you've got Embiid taking bad shots that don't go in. And look, at the end of the day, like, that's the thing. If Embiid was great, that would hit, but it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those things where it's like, if they're not hitting, then someone needs to be telling him, like, hey, don't take that.
Yeah.
Do this instead.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, okay, that shot isn't hitting. We're going to do this play where we do boom, 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 and then I want you to do this fadeaway where, like, they won't be expecting it.
Yeah, just draw stuff up and adapt, which he wasn't doing.
Yep.
And I think we mentioned, too, that part of it part of it is like kind of having that camaraderie in the locker room and being respected and stuff. And that's a part of it, but that can't be the only thing you bring. You need to have the actual coaching expertise. And by the end of it, he didn't even have the respect anymore. Harden's interview, they asked him like, oh, what's your relationship with Doc? And he's like, yeah, it's fine.
Just when I hear a player's coach, I just feel like I always just think that Doc Rivers just sucks up to his stars.
Mm.
And there's been things where like he clearly treats his all-stars better than other people on the team.
Yeah,
and I think that's really bad.
Yeah.
Like if your all-stars can't be held accountable because you hold them at this higher level, like how are you going to have respect of the other?
You have to have the whole locker room on the same page. So
can't win with just all-stars.
Yeah.
So Boston played really well, I think, overall.
Put some respect on Boston too. I think they did play well. Obviously that comeback from 3-2 down, which might be a bit of a theme into the next round too. But yeah, I mean, Boston have looked scary. They did drop the two games to Atlanta in the first round, so I didn't have the highest hopes for them, to be quite honest.
Mm.
Whereas Philly did sweep Brooklyn. I mean, it was Brooklyn though. But yeah, Boston, they've really just turned it up when they needed to.
But Boston had this theme where like they throw silly games
that
they shouldn't be throwing at the beginning. It's kind of a bit of a theme with them. Like they lost game one at home. I'm pretty sure they lost game one at home in the conference finals.
Game
two, yeah. So it's like,
yeah, those are the games they should be locking down with home court advantage.
And I think that's always been the issue we've talked about with Boston is the consistency.
Yeah.
Like they rely a lot on shooting, and what do you do when the shooting isn't falling?
Mm.
And there are just some games where they just completely fall apart.
It's high risk, high reward.
But they, at the end of the day, they had to be perfect to get it to game seven. They had to win the last two games in a row. Mm. They were down and Philly didn't get the job done.
Yeah. I mean, it was convincing the last two games, so they really stepped it up.
95-86 and then 112-88. Like,
yeah. They stepped it up, so I mean, props to them.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
But it's Doc, man. You're not going to make it with Doc. He's a bad coach.
I do want to see next season how Philly goes, because it looks like they have an MVP player right now. They need to capitalize on this segment of time. It feels like they've been building this roster for ages and they need to start having results. So
they ran out of time.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Embiid's going to stay around forever. Like if they can't make, like, I could see Embiid asking for a trade in the next couple of years if they don't get closer.
Yeah.
And just one last thing on Embiid. I thought that Joker should have been the MVP.
Yeah, I think I agree with that too.
I don't want it to sound like a in hindsight thing, because like everyone's saying that right now.
Yeah.
But I legitimately was like, I thought that Joker, not even from a stats, because I know that a lot of the advanced stats favored the Joker.
Yeah.
But just for me, just the eye test.
Mm.
Embiid, and it was. Is good and was getting good stat lines.
Like dominant scorer, but...
But wasn't looking dominant. Wasn't looking unstoppable sometimes. Like, there are times where, like, yeah, he get the basket, like, to the basket at will.
Mm.
But there are other times where he did not look, like, especially, like, the flopping for me. There's a lot of Embiid falling and flopping and relying on free throws to kind of stat... I don't want to say Paddy's stats or anything, but... There was definitely a portion of Embiid's game that was reliant on him getting calls. And I think a lot of those, and James Harden did it a couple of years ago, and those sort of players always come short in playoffs.
Yeah.
You never get the same calls that you get in playoffs that you do different in regular season. And for me, Embiid wasn't passing the eye test, whereas Joker was the exact opposite. He's getting these crazy stat lines, getting like, I think he was getting like one of the least free throw attempts in the league. Like that man was just playing through contact the whole game and no one would call it.
Yeah.
And I think that the main reason why Embiid got it, I don't want to say it was voter fatigue or anything like that, but the media kind of plays that game of like, Joker's a crazy good advanced analytics were not going to get him through, and Embiid kind of had the story of it's like, finally it's Embiid's turn kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a tough one, because if you look back at the last like 3-4 years or whatever, and if you go as a whole, Jokic gets 2 MVPs, Embiid gets 1, I'm like, yeah, it seems pretty fair. But taking it season by season, I think Jokic should have had all 3.
Yeah.
Because I think he was the best player. The thing is too, like obviously Embiid has crazy point numbers, like led the league in points. Good on him. That was impressive. But Jokic could have got more points if he wanted to. He's playing team basketball. He's getting his assists, getting rebounds, getting everything. So I think just his play style too. I mean, we're seeing in the playoffs. I think that's
the big thing for me that I want to like when I look at MVP that I want to try and differentiate. There's a lot of people that can ball and can get buckets, right? Yep. You can see now more and more like anyone can get hot and get 30. Mm. But I don't think that Embiid was doing enough to make his team better.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I think that's the part now that like before it was just whoever was the best scorer. Mm. And that was like in a time of the league where like that was how the game was played.
Yeah.
Whereas now like you can't just be good at scoring.
Yeah.
You have to be able to set your teammates up and play team basketball, and I don't think Embiid has that. Like, yeah, he passes, you know, yeah, he does what all bigs do. He runs in and pops it out to the corner. Mm. Everyone does that, right? But Joker does it in a way that he's
running the offense.
Yeah.
He's not just a part in it. He's the catalyst for everything. So yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I think, for me, that was the difference. Yep. And that's why I think Joker should have been the MVP. And I guess I just feel validated, like, seeing Joker still doing really well in playoffs. And yeah. Embiid really came up short this playoffs. To finalize my statements, I think that if you're going to make a big campaign to be MVP, don't disappear. Mm. I think that sometimes you should pick MVP after the main season, because there's been a lot of times where like someone plays really, really well in the regular season and then does not have that same impact in playoffs, which I know that's what the finals MVP is for, kind of, yeah. And blah, 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 blah,
MVP is meant to be a regular season award, but when they drop off like that, it's like, what?
I'm a little embarrassed for Embiid, honestly. Yeah. Like, he was supposed to be really dominant and didn't. When it counted, he didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think that that Phoenix really had enough time to like integrate KD in.
That's fair. And so I think a lot of their, I guess, system included Bridges, included Cam Johnson. It is a big shift.
Well, it's also just playing time as well, and they didn't get that. And then the Phoenix bench just sucked.
Didn't step it up, yeah.
And I'm kind of 50-50. So Denver won 4-2. At least they got the six games. I think that's at least respectable. Monty Williams did get let go after that series.
Mm. Which another coach.
Which I kind of agree, but I kind of disagree at the same time.
Yeah, this is the one I'm most conflicted on. I think I agree with the other ones, but this one I'm like,
What are your thoughts?
I mean, he took them to the finals. I don't know, but I guess you can argue that this wasn't a good enough result. I mean, they're up against Denver, though, who very solid team. Like, this is the first year they've had like all their players healthy, and they're really dominant. So it's a bit of a tough one to call. But
it's just one of those things where I think so. The biggest issue he had was his bench was terrible.
Yeah,
he could not get anything out of his bench. Mm. Which is a tough situation to be in. But on the flip side, the way that it just became very apparent that he was just like, give the ball to KD and just he just relied on KD to dig him out of this hole. And the amount of minutes that KD was being made to play was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And at the end of the series, KD was tired, bro. KD was clunking everything off the front of the, like, he was tired.
Yeah.
And Monty was just like, right, I'm just going to win with my starting five. And that's not a strat. You can't do that.
You need to use the depth of the bench properly.
I don't know. Look, here's the thing, right? I can't tell you like how they should have done it. Because at the end of the day, he was in a really tough position where they gave away a lot of their depth and the bench was absolutely terrible. Yeah. And Chris Paul got hurt halfway through, I'm pretty sure. So like he was struggling, but there's got to be a better way than just relying on KD.
Yeah.
I know he's a great player, but you can't just be like, okay, KD, go win me the game.
Yeah.
That's
very true.
He's good, but he is that good, but I don't think he can do it seven games in a row.
No. No, that's the thing. He'll win you a couple going off, but not against the number one seed in the West. Like,
no,
not for the playoff series.
It's not feasible.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like I think, the Phoenix got tired, and And yeah, it was disappointing.
Mm. Having said all that, I'd still give him one more season. I think I'd give him one more, just because it hasn't been a whole season with the new lineup.
Yeah,
I think give him a bit more time to adjust, in my opinion. But
but last season they finished short because it was too.
Actually, that was a big last year. To the Mavs.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Coming off the Mavs series where he did not do well at all, so it's like, at what point is it a like? He's probably got the. I don't want to say he's got a pretty good, like, this is probably the best team he's gonna get.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they can make some, like, maybe if CP3 doesn't go down, maybe if they had a slightly better bench. But, like, Jock Langdale was doing really well.
Yeah, he was stepping up. Yeah.
Langdale, whatever.
Jock Landale, yeah.
Stupid Australian. And it's like, at the end of the day, you still had KD, Book, Ayton, like...
Still got a solid team. So.
Yeah, so I think it's one of those things where it's like, after reaching the finals, like, the expectations are high. And he pretty much had the same team last year and couldn't do it. They make a big move for KD, and he can't unlock the potential that KD and Book have.
Yeah, I think, factoring in last playoffs too, it is a bit disappointing.
Obviously, the new owner in Phoenix, so there's a little bit of maybe, like, the new owner wants to be involved in decision-making, which the rumor is that it was the new owner that was like, I'm trading for KD, sort of pulled the trigger on that. The rumor is that he pulled the trigger on getting rid of Monty as well.
Making some big moves and kind of clean slate a little bit.
Wants to sort of put his hand on things. And he so a little bit concerned because often owners don't know what they're doing. So we'll have to see. I still really like this Phoenix team. I'm just, they're running out of time, I think.
Yeah.
CP3 is old by NBA standards and he has been slowing down. And trying to keep him healthy when he's such a big part of the team, relying on him in playoffs is not a good strat.
Yeah. I mean, he's a useful piece, but you can't rely on him as heavily at this point. So,
no.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see, A, who they get in as coach, and B, what moves they make in the offseason, because I think that's going to be important, getting the right pieces around Book and KD. The other issue is that Ayton... is either like, I don't want to pile on DeAndre Ayton because he gets a lot of people talking about him.
Yeah.
But there are some times where that it just does. He looks like Ben Simmons. I don't want to be rude. Like, maybe not to the extent of Ben Simmons.
But he's a bit one dimensional. So.
No, but like, even just, does he want to be there?
All right. Does in terms he of more of an effort?
Yeah. Does he want to be good?
Well, I think.
Or does he just want to get paid?
When they re-signed him, it really did kind of look like the situation where it's like, well, I don't really want to be here, but they've brought me back again. Like,
yeah,
it's like he did want to be elsewhere, so I'm not that surprised.
But he doesn't play like this is the issue. This is why it took so long to get resolved. He is not getting. He got a max contract. He is not getting a max contract stats.
Yeah,
he is not putting the output that he's giving does not match his salary.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you want to be there or not.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he might want to play somewhere else. Maybe he really wants to play in another team. That's fine. I understand that. But at the end of the day, you're in a playoff contending team. And there are a lot of people in the league that would give a left leg to go play in a playoff contending team.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't look like he wants to be there half the time.
True. It's not like he's on like a bottom feeder. He's not on like... I was going to shout some teams out and roast them a little bit, but he's not on the Rockets, for example.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's on a championship contending team, so he should be putting the work in.
And his effort and motivation seems to be lacking.
Yeah.
And that's something I struggle to understand, because even if I didn't want to be in Phoenix, you're on a good team, treat it as a job. Go in, get the job done, do a good job, and go home.
Yeah. I mean, look, even bringing KD in, I thought that could be a bit of a motivator as well. You've now got championship caliber player, but obviously this doesn't work.
And Ayton just is the big question mark for me in that team. Yeah. If Ayton wants to ball out, he can ball out and he's really good for that team. But when he doesn't want to, or he's just not trying, or not, like, I think he's one that I get the vibe, you know, he's like a 90% guy. It's like, yeah, it's enough.
I mean, that could also be part of Monty's firing too, is did Monty do enough to get Ayton in the right space
man. But
because there were some interesting little snippets of him like giving him a pep talk in previous playoffs as well, and it just doesn't look like maybe he doesn't have the respect of Ayton or something, but it's, yeah, not worth it.
I think it's the other way. I don't think anyone respects Ayton.
Okay.
I think when you've got people like Book and CP3 that are like, those guys work and they work hard and they expect everyone around them to work hard.
That's true.
And if you're not putting in that same effort, I could see that being a bit of a sore point for someone like CP3 and Book. That's what I think personally.
Yeah, when you're giving absolutely everything into your work and into the game and someone on the same team is not, that no respect whatsoever.
I think that's the problem personally, but we don't know.
Mm.
But Phoenix are out after 4-2, pretty disappointing. They've got KD though, so KD is one of the best players in the world. If you can keep him healthy, it's unfortunately getting to that stage where it's like asterisks of if you can keep him healthy, which at least since the Achilles injury, he has, it's mostly minor stuff.
It's if been, something yeah, smaller, a couple month type stuff at the moment.
But those are cropping up a lot more than they used to for KD. So, but it's also like high usage rate, high minutes. Like you've really got to try and control how much he plays so that he's got enough time to recoup.
That's true. Last series of the conference semis.
Goodness gracious me.
This one's going to be a bit of a rough one to talk about. Oh, LA Lakers played Golden State.
Look, I can pretty much like with 100% certainty say that Steve Kerr will not be getting fired from the Warriors. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think he's sticking around.
I think the big thing for this, and we'll talk about it, we'll probably slide straight into it, is that Lonnie Walker, if I got that right?
Yep.
Amazing this series.
Yeah, stepped it up because he kind of wasn't looking the best previously.
And then played really good against Golden State, and then disappeared again against Denver. But he just, for some, whatever reason, him playing against Golden State,
he's got a grudge against the four-time champs. Maybe, who knows?
I think it was, and I think I was saying this to you before. This was the best matchup for both teams.
In terms of like you're talking size. Obviously
just
the
everything.
Lakers,
these are two teams that have exceeded expectations, relying on aging, older players that are good, but they have not got championship depth.
Yeah.
No way. There's no way that these guys would have made it. Like, the fact that one of those teams made it to the conference finals, the only reason that happened is because they versed each other. If you put any of these other teams against... Like, if you put the Lakers against Phoenix, Golden State against Denver, like, if you split them up, either way, it doesn't matter, they lose.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, both the teams had weaknesses, but they went against each other, so they had a chance.
Two weakest teams that made it into the conference semis. Yeah. They were the teams that had the least depth. Like, look, LeBron and Curry can go off any time, but when you're getting the playoffs, you need to have other people that can do things.
That's right.
And these were the two weakest teams of that.
Yeah,
100%.
I think even having said that, I still expected Golden State to beat the Lakers. To be honest, it was I guess a tough one to call because the Lakers did, pretty handily dismiss Memphis from the first round. Golden State, I guess they did go to seven games, so maybe there's a little bit of fatigue there, longer first round than they may have expected, but I don't know. The Lakers team just keeps surprising me a bit. I think like. We've talked some mad smack about them this season, but they managed to assemble enough pieces to get by.
That's the thing, they band-aided enough. Yeah. But I don't think it's... I still think that it's like the Lakers didn't win, it's just Golden State didn't have enough good people kind of to really...
Perhaps.
There's only so much that Steph can do, and Klay was terrible.
Yeah, no, that doesn't help when you're
can
number two.
Can someone tell that man to stop shooting?
Or shoot better. Shoot better.
Yeah, shoot better. Like, look, there are some times where he went off, but most of the time it's like, Klay, please don't shoot.
Yeah.
It's like they're down by like five with like 2 minutes to go, and then Klay twice in a row heaves off a shot. Yeah. It's like, Klay, you're not that dude anymore. You need to... Like, at the beginning of the clock shot, he, like, it gets past him and he just shoots it straight away, or he runs it up and shoots it straight. Like, I could, time after time and after time, it's just like, Klay, this is an important play, and you're just jacking up a three. Yeah.
I mean, it's
tough. Play the scheme. Let Steve coach you, bro. Like, get someone else open.
Yeah.
Don't just throw up a three because you have half a step space on someone.
I mean, part of Golden State is that they play fast and they hit you with unexpected shots. But yeah, you have to be firing on all cylinders to.
But
to
when you're getting into like 2 minutes to go of the fourth quarter and you're down by five,
yeah.
Don't go two in a row.
No.
Take one.
That's fair.
Why would you take two in a row? Steph's standing there going, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think quickly, I got a couple of people I do want to shout out from this series because, first of all, Kevon Looney somehow just, I guess, did his job really well.
Yeah.
Even in first round two, just rebounding machine. I think that's encouraging, but matched up against AD, though. I think AD, this is like his dream matchup, I think. Just not much in the way of size and physicality inside. He was averaging like, he was getting five blocks like every second game. So as much as I've also talked smack about AD, I think it was a good series for him overall, I would say.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've got 2 points. One, just off even off that last game. Sorry, just going back to Klay Thompson, 2 from 12. Bro, why do you keep shooting?
That's bad. That's bad.
Like, he really, and I think Steve Kerr mentioned it in an interview, like Thompson needs to sit down and go, like Kobe did when he tore his Achilles, right? He has to be like, cool, I can't play the way I used to play.
Yeah, you got to adapt your game.
How is he, like, is he going to pick up a midi game? Like, what is Klay going to do to adapt to the game? Because
the problem is, though, when you have an injury like that, you might be less athletic and then you lean more into shooting, but that's already what he does. Like, where does he go from there?
Like, he needs, for him to remain to be valuable, he needs to find another way to score.
Yeah.
His 3-point shot has not looked the same. And he needs to be less reliant on the 3-point shot, and he needs to build up some other parts of his game.
I guess.
Otherwise,
but that's
gonna...
also his value too, is the 3-point shooting as well. So he just.
But he can't 3-point shoot.
Well, then he has no value, not much
exactly.
value.
Exactly. So he needs to do something else.
But on the Warriors team, that's their game plan.
He needs to no. He could do something else.
Yeah.
Don't take 12 shots a game from the 3-point line.
I mean. But that's kind of what he's there for. The problem is, as well, is when Curry goes like 4 from 14 and has a bad shooting night too.
Look, didn't help.
Then that's why he needs to take more shots as well. But
did not help. But
I'd still rather Curry shooting that. But yeah.
But Klay should not be shooting on the same at this stage right here right now. Klay should not have the same sort of volume of shots that Steph Curry does.
Yeah, 100% agree on that. 100%.
There's got to be better looks than allowing Klay to take. In this other game, 3 from 9, which is a little bit better.
A bit better, yeah.
But still not good.
Yeah. I think, yeah, end of the day, the Warriors just weren't shooting well enough. And when you've got inconsistent shooting but don't have the size to go inside, I think that's where the Lakers dominated. So I think they, yeah, kind of, as much as I didn't expect them to go that far, it kind of makes sense they got as far as they did.
So we talked about AD. You said that AD had a really good series and feasted and yada, 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 yada. I actually want to disagree with you on that.
Okay.
While look, here's the thing, right? The Golden State Warriors was a fantastic matchup for AD.
Mm.
Why wasn't he averaging 30 every game?
No, that's fair. He should have been doing better.
What?
In that series.
He's supposed to be their superstar, their next, like, you know, LeBron's trying to pass the torch off.
Mm.
He got, against Golden State, he got one 30-point game. He had 2 games under 20, and then he had 3 games early 20s.
Yeah, I think defensively he was good, but offensively, I agree, he should have been better. He should have been more like Embiid numbers when you're playing against a team that doesn't have the size to deal with you. So
I think it's a little bit of like that LA, like Lakers get a lot of media coverage, and everyone's like, oh, AD's the greatest. No, he's not.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm not trying to like smack talk here. I dislike the Lakers, but AD is not the guy.
Yeah. I think I've always thought he's a bit overrated. I think
he is.
He's got a lot of upside and good value, but he's not, I wouldn't want him as my number 2 guy on a team. I don't think.
I wouldn't want him as my number 1 either.
Yeah. Well, definitely not.
Which they're trying to make him, but he hasn't got it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he does not have it.
Especially not with the consistency in terms of like health as well. It's
How long has he been in the league now? Like 8 years, 10 years now?
He was drafted, I think, 2012. So yeah, about just over 10 years, I think.
Yeah. That's it. Mm. This is the best you're going to get.
Yeah.
I don't think there's another step for him to take.
Yeah.
At this stage, this is what you're going to get from AD. And it's not as great as everyone talks about.
Yeah.
Yes, he can have big games. But if this is supposed to be the guy, 11, 17, like even against Denver, 18 points. That's not going to cut it. Okay, he did have a 40-point game. I'll give him that. I will give him that. But like out of the four games, a 40-point game, that's good. 28 points, that's good. I like that. That's a decent... I'm happy with that. 18 and 21, though, not good enough.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think just, yeah, the whole thing was years ago, people were saying like he's in the top five in the league. And no, I've never agreed with that.
Absolutely not. Look against Memphis. 16, 13, 12. And then he had two 30-point games and then a 22. It's just the like if he was a solid like 25 points a game, or like even like 20 to 25 points every single game, if he got 20 points every game, I would not, like, I'd be happy with that.
Mm. I mean, averages out kind of close to 20, but yeah.
but he'll have games, you know what I'm saying? Off, like, if he got every game, like, he got 20 points.
When you have, like, a 12-point game, yeah, that's not good enough. Yeah. So, yeah.
Look, his averages probably average out a little bit nicer than what I'm talking about, but at the end of the day, like, but that's the thing. Like, did Jordan rely on averages to make him look good? Does LeBron rely on averages to look good?
LeBron puts up good numbers pretty much every game. Yeah.
Curry rely, like, okay, maybe Curry's mostly great, but the point stands, right? Mm. Is he a good player that's going to get you 25 a game every game, or is he someone that's going to average 25 because he needs to get 30 points every so often to make up for the fact that some games he gets 10 points?
Yeah, I think it's a fair call. Yeah, especially when you've got good matchups, there's not much excuse to be not balling harder. So yeah.
He should have been unstoppable that series.
Yeah,
he should have been, and he wasn't. He got pushed around by a bunch of small guys.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, which does that segue us into the current round, the conference finals? Where do you want to start on this?
Super quickly, I have a 30-second. Just very quickly, Ja Morant.
Oh, yep.
There was another gun sighting. What an idiot.
Oh, yeah, I guess we had to talk about the elephant in the room. Yeah, I mean, what more is there to say other than just why? I think you do something dumb like that, and then you go through all the steps and the therapy and all that to like kind of make amends. That's kind of like your one chance. Like, yeah, maybe he can come back from that.
He kind of got his pass, right? He did all the PR. He talked to Adam Silver, and like there was people were talking about, there was a clip where Adam Silver found out they did it again, and he like was like super disappointed, and it's like nothing's been said yet. But I think, look, honestly, with how hard... Who was the dude that brought the gun into the locker room?
Gilbert Arenas,
with how hard they went on him, I think they have to make an example of Ja.
Yeah.
I would be disappointed if he doesn't miss at least a quarter of the season next year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair. Because it's a tough one for the league, because he's obviously one of the up-and-coming stars. Even but just not can't. Even like stats and stuff, like he's such a flashy player, which is what they want more of that. But yeah, even if it's your number one asset and he does something like that, you have to go all in. You can't be soft on them.
Why is he carrying guns around?
Yep, it makes no sense,
especially with him playing in Memphis which Minnesota, Memphis, but like being a young African-American man. And there's so many issues right now with guns and gun control and being a good role model. That's the thing. NBA is a business.
Yeah.
They don't care about you. They care about sponsorships, about being a good product, about being something that anyone would feel comfortable bringing their 3-year-old to come watch a game.
Yeah.
And when it comes to being in the corporate world, you have to have the right image. You running around with your thugs and your guns is not the right image that the NBA wants to portray.
It doesn't make sense when the guy had like a shoe deal lined up. He's getting however many tens of millions of dollars a year. Like, You've got everything. Why would you do such a silly thing?
Like that first suspension cost him $20 million.
Yeah,
he didn't make the All NBA team, and that cost him $20 million. And I know he's making 100 and something already, but it's like, bro, why? Like, this is generational wealth, and you're throwing it away to act like a thug.
That's so true too. Generational. It's not just him; it's his future family and stuff that's
like
suffering.
When you're making that much money, if you've surrounded yourselves with yes men. Like, that's the big, like, you've got to have a, like, deflate your head.
Yeah.
Have people around you that will tell you you're an idiot and to stop.
Yeah.
Because that's what all the best players have. 100%. All the best players have in their squad someone that will be like, hey, that's enough.
Yeah. Or, hey, is this the right call?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you need to stop. Yeah. And it's
just mind boggling because, like, once is bad. And even that makes you go, like, why would you do that? But just the fact that he somehow managed to come out the other side, like, kind of, like, obviously damaged reputation, but still, like, kind of hung in there, and then does it again, it makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Just doesn't learn, so.
Ridiculous. So, yeah, I hope the league does something. I think they have to now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So, I'll be curious to see. Denver Lakers!
Yes, back to the series. I mean, that's a pretty easy one to sum up in my mind.
I mean, how crazy good does Denver look?
Yeah. And just Jokic hitting some of the wildest shots that I've ever seen.
Have you seen him do the, like, the
Sunball shuffle?
The 3-point, like, at the huge arc that he does?
Yeah. Because he has a lot of arc in his shot, but some of those ones where the clock's winding down, he does, like, a step back over a really good contest from, like, LeBron and has the biggest arc and splashes it, like,
Wild. It's like he's throwing it over a bridge.
Yeah. The thing that also really confuses me too is that obviously the league wants their product to be exciting and stuff, and like they want high flying dunks and Steph Curry's threes and stuff like that. And yet somehow some people think Jokic is boring. And
what?
I don't get it. I absolutely don't get
man.
It.
He's a wizard.
Yeah. Everyone was hyped for like a Lakers Boston finals.
Get out of here.
But absolutely not. I think Denver going through their first finals ever. That's perfect. And Jokic is such a hilarious character, insanely talented in every aspect, and yet people go, nah, he's boring.
He's boring so funny.
He can't dunk.
He always cracks up the Shaq crew every time they do
an
interview.
Hilarious. I think he's a great asset, both like his on-court and off-court. But yeah, people still have the opinion
What's the Denver coach's name again?
Mike Malone.
Yeah. I just got it as you were saying. He's been hilarious in his post games. Like,
he's had some great quotes.
Ripping into the media because like all they talk about is the Lakers. And it's like, you do realize we're like 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
And it's like,
let's just put some respect on this team. Like, the only reason they haven't got further is just injuries in previous seasons. I'm so happy to see them at full health. I'm not even like a Denver fan necessarily, but
this team's crazy.
It's just so exciting to watch.
Dude, having Aaron Gordon, Murray, what's the other guy?
Michael Porter Jr.
And Jokic and Bruce Brown.
Dude,
can we shout out?
Absolutely. Shout out to Bruce Brown. He's been playing great.
I don't know why the Nets didn't re-sign him. That was one of the ones where I was baffled. I was like, why the hell did the Nets not re-sign
him? I think they were playing him at small forward at times, and he's, I think, just shooting guard is a bit more his position, so I think it's part of it. But yeah, maybe just took
baffled.
One of those. Yeah, took one of those things where he moves to a new team and just flourishes. So,
dude, he looks so good.
And
then Denver have THT, don't they? No, who do they have? They picked up a Laker stray.
Yeah.
I swear they did.
Racking my brain to think who it is.
It's someone.
We'll see it in a second.
No, they picked up a Laker stray. Where is it? I shouldn't say Laker stray. But
a bit more respect, but
KCP. Yeah, no,
KCP.
I was close.
Yeah. No. You were spot on. I know what you meant.
They picked up KCP, who's been playing really well. Like this. Oh, they've got Bruce Brown and Jeff Green.
Yeah, they've still got Jeff Green. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've got Bruce Brown. Yeah, this is a crazy team, and I'm so glad to see them like going on all cylinders. Like everyone's healthy, and they look really, really good.
The crazy thing too is that outside of Jokic, they don't have any all-stars. And yet they've got this far. It's literally just Jokic. I mean, I think maybe at points, maybe Murray got an all-star or something. But as of this season, he's the only all-star, which is, I love to see. You could almost argue they have a big four, but they're kind of like players that don't quite sneak into the all-star.
They're fringe all-stars.
Yeah, they're really solid starters. And I think it's exciting too, because it's not just like they've assembled like, yeah, literally all stars in their starting lineup.
I've got Reggie Jackson as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't think he's been getting many minutes, but yeah.
They don't need to.
They've got depth, and I think that's been a huge key for them too. Obviously, on top of that, Jokic has been playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
Obviously, Murray's been great too.
Porter Jr., like when they need a three, he just got it.
And like there have been some games where he's been quiet most of the game, but then in the last quarter when they need to step it up, he hits like 13 points in the last quarter. Like,
yeah.
He's been great. So
everyone on that team steps up. Like Bruce Brown's playing well. Jeff Green's playing well. Like most of these, like some of these wins have been close. Like as well, that last one, especially with like the 113 to 111. That's true.
So at least been exciting in that regard. But if the Lakers beat Denver, I would have eaten my pants or something. Like honestly, yeah. Denver, I'm glad they won 4-0 because they should have. Yep.
But like there's some games where it's like 119 to 108 and like 132 to 126. Like,
they went all blowouts. So.
Most of the time they were, but like even like some of the closer ones, like most of the time Denver led the whole game.
Yeah. So even though it was relatively close, it was wire to wire. They had control. I'm
super excited for finals, I think. Yeah,
congrats to Denver. First finals in their franchise history, I believe. So
that's wild. Denver one of the younger franchises?
No, they've actually been around for a while. They were like there in like the 70s and 80s and stuff.
They just suck.
They were really good in the 80s, but they weren't good enough. So
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Which leads us to Miami-Boston.
I think this one is possibly the wildest series this entire playoffs. I'm going to say it.
It's pretty wild.
It's pretty wild.
Miami were at one point 3-0. 3-0.
Which that alone is crazy.
The first three games were just like so dominant as well. Like they looked unstoppable. Looked so comfortable.
Just the fact, even if we bring it back, like they beat the number one seed in Milwaukee 4-1. They beat a solid team in New York 4-2. And then they're up 3-0 on the second seed in the whole NBA. Like it looked like they were pretty much breezing their way to the finals as a team that made it into the play-ins. Like they didn't
don't have the depth. Like it doesn't make sense.
It does boggle the mind. Obviously, Jimmy Buckets is part of it.
Jimmy Butler just went wild for some games. But that's always been my issue with Jimmy, right? Is that there'll be times where he absolutely goes off and is unstoppable, and then there'll be other times where he just disappears and is trying to make things happen and
can't
it doesn't happen.
Can't do it every single game.
Yeah, he can't do it all the time. Like today, I think he was pretty bad.
Mm. But yeah, I mean, Miami, like you said, they don't quite have the depth, especially with injuries. They've been playing guys like Duncan Robinson, who everyone just wrote off. I mean, he's had some okay moments. So, I mean, look.
That
I think
man can still shoot.
Yeah. I mean, that's all he can do, really.
Have you seen, like watching the games, right?
Mm.
The moment Duncan touches the ball.
Oh, yeah.
You could see Boston freak out.
Yeah, because, like, we know he's going to pull that three. Yep.
Like, he's still, even with the less playing time that he's had, Duncan's still, like, ridiculous. Like, he's, like, average is, like, 50%, but he's like incredibly.
He's a shooter. But I think one thing I guess they're jumping ahead a little bit, but even in this last game, one thing I did like to see is that Duncan was getting inside. He was like calling for the ball, getting layups and stuff. So he's trying to put in the effort outside of just shooting.
He's had some really good cuts where the ball gets to him and he makes a good cut, and it's like almost one of those things where like they only pay attention to him if he gets the ball at the 3-point line.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
Don't worry, it's a threat.
But
yeah.
Like for example, today Jimmy was 5 from 21.
Yeah,
and it's like
cold night for him.
And look, he got 14 free throw attempts.
I was gonna say that's the bulk of his points, and obviously hit some clutch ones at the end. But
it's like he needs a better stat line.
Yeah,
but they lost by 1 point. I can't believe it. Like,
yeah, so I guess we're jumping ahead, but Miami up 3-0. So it looks like they're gonna close this off. Yeah. No one's ever come back from 3-0 down. But then Boston go ahead and win 2 in a row. They're up 3-2 in this last game. And it's like, okay, Miami, home crowd. The crowd was absolutely wild, by the way.
They were.
They were so loud. It looks like they're going to cap it off. Jimmy hits a clutch free throws. Boston are down by one, I think it was. And inbound to Smart. Smart chucks up a shot. It rims out. It's like, all right, game over. And then Derek White's like, actually, I have a different opinion. Goes up, lays it in with 0.1 of a second left.
Good gosh.
Like, there are so many memes about like Adam Silver, like, yeah, can we make that a game 7, please? Like, we need some more entertainment. Because two sweeps in the conference finals could have been boring, I guess. But wow, what a turnaround.
Crazy. And like the thing was, like, Spoelstra was absolutely coaching circles around Boston. They just could not make anything work.
Yeah.
Like the and then something changed in game four where they just like came out and were unstoppable.
Yeah. I mean, look, Boston, you can't ever really write them off because they are a strong team. And like we were saying before, live and die by the three. If they're hot, they're terrifying. If they're missing, then they're not great. But when they're hot, yeah, they clawed their way back. Props to them as well, the tenacity to stick with it. Because if you're down like 3-1, we've seen people come back from that. But down 3-0, it's like, all right, we can't lose a single game.
No one's done it.
No one's done it, exactly. And so like, it's theoretically impossible because no one's done it technically. So what kind of mentality do you have to go into that to try and claw it back? And so far, they brought it back to 3-3 all. So
look, I thought game five was a bit of a write-off because Gabe Vincent rolled his ankle.
Yeah, and he was
throw that game and then try and win game six. But now they're going to game seven at Boston's home, which isn't always a good thing. Boston doesn't always play good at home. So, like, they lost their first two games at home.
That's true.
So it's not impossible.
And even in the previous round, they lost a home game as well. So, yeah, it's not impossible. But, oh, man, who are you calling? Because technically we're yet to see game seven.
Oh, it's not tomorrow, it'll be the next day. It's also wild as I think Tyler Hero is close.
Yeah, he's been seen warming up and stuff, so he could hopefully be back soon.
It's a tough one to call. I think.
I'm gonna go Boston, for one reason, and that's just because I want to see the impossible happen. I want to see someone claw back from 3-0 down. As much as Miami's been a roller coaster and we've been roasting them and then we've been praising them, I would love to see them get to the finals too, but I think Boston clawing back.
I think in a game seven, when everything's on the line, I think Boston have more depth, which means they've got more opportunities to dig them out of their hole, whereas Miami don't have that.
It's either Jimmy goes off or he doesn't. So I think it's a fair call. I think between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, one of them's going to cook.
Yeah.
And yeah. Boston
whereas Miami only have Jimmy to rely on. Like, I think Boston, let's see what happens.
Oh, there have been some really interesting matchups too in this series. I think like Marcus Smart posting up Gabe Vincent, like it's interesting to see some guards getting some post work going. Obviously you've got like defensive prowess and Robert Williams, Bam, offensively. I think it's been a great series, so I'm happy for either team, really. I think it's a win-win. But I want to see the impossible happen. I want to see Boston somehow claw it back.
Just, yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
I think Celtics have the better team. I think the Heat have the better coach.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's a good call.
So, we'll have to see. Thanks for listening to this mega episode of Hoopinions.
We're back up to speed. We're back, baby. Let's go.
We're back. I'm back in town. I'm very poor. So please listen to this. Shout out to Anthony and my girlfriend for listening.
Yeah, shout out.
And we will see you next time where we will break down the ending of Miami and Boston and probably chat about the NBA Finals.
It's getting juicy.